Psalm number 104. I struggled what verse to use this morning because, as Brother Gallagher said last week, when I went to college, I was told this is the way you do it. You have to have a verse to start with. Well, I could have started preaching this morning without a verse because I've got enough insight. But out of habit, you try to stay in form and do what you've been told to do. And so I picked out this verse this morning and read Psalm 104, verse number 35. Psalm number 104, verse 35 says, "Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more." Now, that sounds like a very strong statement. Let the wicked be no more. Let the sinner be consumed out of the earth. Now notice the last words he says here, "Bless thou the Lord." God does everything in according to his plan, and he never makes a mistake. And one day, the wickedness of this world will be out of here. One day, the sinner will be no more. And the psalmist, as he writes this, he says, "Bless thou the Lord. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul." And then he sort of signs it off, "Praise ye the Lord." Now this morning, I want us to thank all the whole service upon a word that is, that these words are translated from, "Praise ye the Lord." It just simply is a word that we say is hallelujah. Hallelujah is a universal term. I've said this a lot of times. If you go to Japan this morning, and their language is far different than ours, but if you say hallelujah, they will understand what you say. If you go to Brazil, if you go to any country in the world, and you say the word hallelujah, they understand, they know what you're saying, and it just simply means praise ye the Lord. I wrote down here underneath verse number 35, it is a Hebrew word, and we have some in the New Testament reference to that. But I looked up the word pray, the words "praise you the Lord," and it's the word is hallelujah. And we get the word hallelujah from that "praise ye the Lord." If you look at a lot of the verses in Psalms, you'll find that there are 23 times in Psalms that "praise ye the Lord" is used and has from this translation of the Hebrew word. If you look in the last chapters of the book of Psalms, you'll find that the psalmist in Psalm number 146 through 150, he will start with "praise ye the Lord," and he ends with "praise ye the Lord." And so the psalmist, he begins his song here with hallelujah. And after all those verses of that song, he ends it up with hallelujah. This morning, I believe it's a very important time. That word is used one time in the book of Judges, chapter 5, it says, "Praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel." And when the people willingly offered themselves, when Israel was willing to offer themselves, God avenged them. God took care of their enemy. And the book of Judges, chapter 5, says, "Praise ye the Lord," or he uses the word hallelujah. I looked up this morning some other words that are universal terms, but none of them are as important as this. Anywhere in the world, if you say mama, most people understand who you're talking about, or papa, you have that. The word okay is universal. The word, what was the other word? Huh? Yeah, the question mark, what did you say? Huh? That's a universal term. But all those terms, and there's quite a few of them, none of them have the spiritual significance as this word that we look at this morning in the word of the Lord, that is hallelujah. It is given to us in the Old Testament, in Psalms, in the book of Judges, and it's also given to us in the book of the Revelation, chapter number 19. It is used four times, and it's translated hallelujah. And it's just a Greek rendering of the word hallelujah. And so we have it here in the scripture, and so it's very important to us. In the Psalms, it is the hallelujah of the earth. And we'll look at that in a few moments. In the Revelation, it is the hallelujah of heaven. And so worldwide, heavenly or earthly, Everybody, somewhere, sometime, says the word hallelujah. It cannot be translated by any one word other than hallelujah, as that universal term is given to us. I want us to look at some hallelujahs this morning and just rejoice in what the Lord has shown to us in the Word of God. The Bible says in Psalm 103, verse 1, says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His name." We are to be blessing the Lord, honoring God, and I believe the greatest way that we can do that is to recognize that, praise ye the Lord. There's too many things missing in our generation. There's too many things that we've let go, and I believe one of the very important things that we've sort of let slide is our praising the Lord, our honoring the Lord for what He has done for us and how He has blessed us. You and I this morning, we realize that we are here this morning simply by the grace of God. We are here because the Lord permitted us to get up and get ready and have breath, have life, and move about and do our things and be able to get in a car and be able to come down to this place we call church. And we ought to be able to say hallelujah, praise the Lord, that He has done that for us. That's a verse I read to begin with. It says, bless thou the Lord, O my soul, praise ye the Lord. Now, if you still at Psalm number 104, I'm not going to read all these verses, but I'm going to give you a capsule of what Psalm 104 tells us, and certainly we should bless the Lord and say hallelujah when we realize the things that He has done for us. This psalm describes the handiwork of God and the laws over which the universe is run. Now, everything we see this morning is happening by purpose. We're not here by accident. We're not here by mistake. And the sun didn't come up this morning. The sun will not set tonight just because it might do that. We are living in a universe that is run by the law of God. And He set it into motion. And no one is going to stop that. No one's going to take it out of position. Psalm number 104 really is a poem of nature. It is a poem where we can say and have hallelujah of the creation. This world in which we live and the creation that we see around us that the world wants to deny and make fun of and reject, it doesn't matter. It's still set in motion, and God is going to do with it as He so pleases. Here we find, let's just look at a few verses. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, Thou art very great. Thou hast clothed with honor and majesty, who covereth Thyself with light, as with raiment, and who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of His chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds His chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh His angels spirits His ministers, a flaming fire, who laid the foundations of the earth, that it should not be removed forever." There's what God has done with this world in which we live. He laid the foundation, and it will not be removed. We find in these verses that we are called to bless the Lord. The psalmist here describes God with greatness and honor and majesty and love and joy. The light of God is His garment. The heaven is the canopy that He has spread. The foundations of the earth have been laid, and He makes the clouds His chariots. And one day, Jesus is coming back on the cloud. The scripture tells us this same Jesus, as you've seen Him go, He's coming back just like He left. He left in the clouds, He's coming back in the clouds, and we're going to one day go to be with Him. If you go on and read the rest of these verses, you'll find that His voice is like thunder. He makes the springs to come forth in the valleys, and the grass is for the cattle, the trees are for the birds, the hills are for the wild goats, the rocks are for the conies, and He makes the laws that govern the sun and the moon. All this is found in this one Psalm number 104. He makes the sea great and wide, and says it has a barrier. There's only so far that the sea goes, and we call it the beach. But God has set it up that it goes no farther and does not destroy and overtake. And so we find the earth is full of the riches of the Lord. He says in verse number 25, says, "O Lord, how manifold are Thy works! In wisdom Thou hast made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. He goes on later and says, my meditation of him shall be sweet. And so we're to meditate upon the things that God has done for us. We're to think about all the magnificent, mighty works of the Lord that he has given to us. And I believe this creation that we see around us, I believe the creation cries out, hallelujah, praise ye the Lord. And what a wonderful passage that we have. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they're without excuse. So we see a hallelujah of nature. Everything, every invisible thing from the creation of the world speaks that there is a God in heaven. Do you ever wonder why it's not as pronounced now as it was 75 years ago? But when the missionaries would leave the shores of this country, or when they left the shores of Great Britain centuries ago, when they would get to a particular place, they would find that people were religious. Now, they might worship an animal. They might worship a statue. They might worship something that they could feel. But they were religious in that they knew that there's something more than just right here. Those folks that we call in the darkness of the continents of this world, they're a lot smarter than some people in our own country that deny what they know is true and what we have been told is true from the Word of God. And so the Bible says here, Paul says there, to, as he writes to Romans, the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Everywhere we look, we see creation. Everywhere we look, we see the greatness of God. Everywhere we look, we see the limitlessness of our Lord. And he is able to do as he so chooses, and he takes care of us. And I believe the nature, as he describes it, and has Psalms, as we read there, tells about what all the Lord has done. He's made the laws to govern. He's made the rocks. He's made the trees. He's made the grass. He's made the air. He's made it all. And therefore, creation says, here it is. It's not invisible. It is clearly seen that the Lord has blessed this world. I'm glad this morning that I was raised in a country, I'm glad I was raised in a city, glad I was raised in a home that knew something about the Lord God of heaven. A lot of people are not that fortunate. And so we are blessed if we have that as our as something that's been in our life. But there are folks around this world that know there is a God in heaven simply because they look and they see that it just could not accidentally happen. That's like taking a watch and tearing it apart and throwing it out here on the ground, and when it falls to the ground, it sort of just jumps back together and keeps time. The world doesn't do that. The world was created by a magnificent, loving God, and he sent forth his Son, Jesus Christ, that manifested himself that we might have life. And so therefore creation says, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Not only does creation have that, but I believe there is a hallelujah of the providence of God. Now the word providence sometimes scares people off, but it just simply means God has a plan and God will work it out. You're not going to stop it. You're not going to change it. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 11, it says, who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. He worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. God has set things in motion, and we've been studying the book of the Revelation for some time, and whatever he has told us there in that last book, you know what? It's going to happen just like God said it would, because that's the counsel of his own will. And all things, who worketh all things after the counsel of his will. Psalm 105, verse number 45, it says that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise ye the Lord. There's another hallelujah. That they see the counsel, they see, observe his statutes and his laws. He has given them lands of the heathen. He gave Israel all those things that they might know him. And the psalmist says, praise ye the Lord. When you deal with the history of Israel, you'll see that God has led Israel every step of the way. The psalmist sees the footprint of God in history as well as in nature. The nature of creation cries hallelujah. But the providence of God and the history that God has given Israel and the history that God has given us also declare hallelujah, praise the Lord. He has not left us unattended. He's not left us in a wilderness without him. He is guiding us and directing us just like he did with Israel. I jotted down some things here what the Lord did for Israel. It was God who covenanted with Abraham. In Abraham, God says the whole world is going to be blessed. And God made a covenant with Abraham as an unconditional covenant. God says, and part of it, he said, I'm going to do this. Part of the covenant was conditional. He said, I will if you will. But he is that God that covenanted with Abraham. He made an oath with Isaac, and he protected his people in Egypt. God led them to Egypt for specific reason and purpose, and while they were there, they multiplied, they grew, and they become a threat to the Pharaoh. He put them in bondage, and God protected them, and then God led them out. It was God that had called for a famine in the land when they forgot who God was, and they were prosperous. You know, the most deadly thing to Christian people today is prosperity, because all of a sudden we forget where we came from. All of a sudden we forget how it used to be. All of a sudden we say, not much about the Lord, and we just begin to say, look what I am doing, and look what I have accomplished, look what I'm going to do. And we forget that prosperity comes from the Lord. If we have a $20 bill in our wallet this morning, you know what it is? It's the blessing of the Lord. If we have ability to do what we do and we prosper and we're able to go forward, it's not because of what we've accomplished, but it's because of what God gives us ability to do, and that we can do that. It was God that when they prospered, God brought a famine upon them, and he brought them back to a place of recognizing who the Lord was. All the way through the history of Israel, you have Israel in despair. And they cry to God, and God answers their prayer, and in that answer, he gives them prosperity. And in their prosperity, they go, the Bible says, they go after other gods. The God that led them out of Egypt through the Red Sea and through the wilderness, all of a sudden they forget him, and they set up a statue and say, this be our God. This is who did that. And so when they do that, God brings judgment or famine upon them, and they cry out to the Lord. You know what God does? He's merciful, he's gracious, he hears their cry, and he establishes them once again. And the cycle starts over. America this morning has had the prosperity of the Lord. America has had the blessings of God. But God has began, I believe, to bring about judgment upon us because we have forgotten who the Lord is. We have forgotten what civilization is. We have forgotten how to live correctly with each other. We have forgotten how wrong sin is and how wicked wickedness is. We read this week, of all the struggles in the world, all the problems in this world, this week has the news media put upon us the total coverage of what they voted on in North Carolina. And they just use sensible things, that a man goes to a men's room and a woman goes to a ladies' room for the bathroom. And then you have these so-called stars. And they say, we just won't go. I'd write them a letter and say, do not come. We don't need that. We don't need you. What total insanity is it when we turn our back upon just pure right thinking? You have pop stars that die, and all of a sudden they are idolized. And we forget about where God has brought us. And God, if he did it to his people Israel, I believe he'll do it to his people in America. It was God who sent the darkness and turned the water into blood. It was God who spreads a covering over them in a cloud as he led them through the wilderness. Cloud by day and a fiery cloud by night. God led them. It was that same God who opened a rock to quench their thirst when they complained, "We have no water." It was that same God that let that rock follow his people through the wilderness. I don't understand that. Here, Moses is told to smite the rock, and water comes gushing out of that enough to give water to millions of people that are there in the desert starving for water, and as they leave, that rock follows them. Hey, preacher, you had to be crazy to believe that. No, you just believe what the Scripture says. I don't understand that. But God gave them water all the way through the wilderness. And the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, who that rock was. 1 Corinthians 10:4 says, "And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was," who? "Christ." Praise the Lord. We have a never-ending flood of refreshing water from the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the water of life. So the psalmist sums up this providential dealing with his people with the word, "Praise ye the Lord." Hallelujah. He says, for life, for death, sink or swim, God's in control. You know, this morning, sink or swim, God is in control of this old world. Oh, the politicians think they're in control. Those that are trying to become the president, they think they're going to be in control. But you know what? The Bible says that he takes the heart of the king, the leader, and that is in the palm of his hand, and he moves them as he so chooses. The Bible says he sets up kingdoms and he brings down kingdoms. He puts a kingdom here for a purpose, for a reason. The kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon kingdom, was there for a reason. You read the book of Daniel. God even says, "Nebuchadnezzar is my servant." That wicked, ungodly man, God says, "He's my servant." You know how he was his servant? He accomplished the will of God, the providence of God. And so these things are happening around us. We ought not to despair. We ought to just say, "Praise the Lord." We know time's at hand. And one day soon, he is coming. Oh, my soul, why art thou disquieted within me? The psalmist says that, Psalm 42:5. David says, why is my soul disquieted? Well, we look around us, we become disquieted. But why is it when we realize God's in control? We should praise him for everything that comes our way, even sorrow, even sadness. We can go through the furnace with the Son of God because he's with us. We can be put in the lion's den and God's there with us. They threw the three Hebrews there in the book of Daniel in the fiery furnace, and he goes and looks the next morning. The king had heated up so much that when they throwed those men in the fiery furnace, it killed the soldiers that did that, the heat. And he goes down the next day and he says, I see four people there. Did we not throw three into the furnace? They're moving around. They're walking. And I see four. And he says, that fourth one is the image likened to the what? Son of God. Yes, Jesus was there. Now, if you read one of these translations, you'll find that they have changed that. And it'll say it's like one of the son of the gods, little G-O-D-S. No, that's not what it said, son of God. And so we find the Lord is in control. When we're put in the lion's den, he's there to shut the mouths. He's there to help us. And so we can say hallelujah for the providence of God. Whatever befalls me, whatever comes our way, God is in control. We've been so used to in America of everything being like it, we think it should be, that we have forgotten that we are just flesh. And when we forget God, he knows how to get our attention. The Bible says, Psalm 106, verse 1, Praise ye the Lord. You know what that is? Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Here's the hallelujah of God's grace. We've seen the hallelujah of creation. We've seen the hallelujah of his providence. Here's the hallelujah of his grace. His mercy endureth forever. I'm glad the mercy of God does not run out. He's always merciful. Verse number 6 of Psalm 106. The psalmist says, we have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. But God was merciful. Hallelujah. We see God showing forth his favor, his grace. The song a while ago, we sang Amazing Grace. The word grace just means favor that is not merited or not worked for, not earned. We're not able to earn the grace of the Lord. He gives it freely. Psalm 106, verse 7 says, our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at sea, even the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them. Why? For his name's sake. You know, there's some things God does for us, not necessarily for us, but for his name's sake. He has a name high and lifted up above all other names. And here the psalmist says he saved them at the Red Sea, not for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power be known. There's a song in one of these books, maybe under here, and I don't know if it's in one that we have. Justice called, mercy answered. The justice of God says if you sin, you're going to die. The mercy of God says, but you can live through Jesus Christ. That's his mercy. That's his grace. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. That is the justice of the Lord. We have death in our bodies, and it is coming to us, but thank God we don't have to go through that second death, that eternal death that goes through because of the Lord. Mercy can now rejoice against the judgment because judgment was satisfied when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. There was a debt that had to be paid. I couldn't pay it, but thank God he did. He didn't owe it, but he paid it. Yeah. Never had somebody pay you a bill for you? What a great feeling that is. Well, God paid my debt. Yeah. He took care of it all. I was a wicked sinner. I was ungodly without God, and so were all of us. But thank God he went to Calvary, and he took care of it. He is the one that helps us. Hallelujah for the grace of the Lord. Psalm 111, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright of the congregation. Psalm 112, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man who feareth the Lord and delighteth greatly in his commandments. Psalm 113, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. You know what this is? This is the hallelujah of just praising God. Just being thankful for what he has done. Praise the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song in the congregation of saints, 149 verse 1. Psalm 150 verse 6, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And then the psalmist puts a little footnote, hallelujah. You see, praise the Lord is not hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord is hallelujah. And so the psalmist says, everything that has breath should praise the Lord. That's an action that we have. That's a job that we do. That's something that we are asked of God to praise him and to honor him. And then the psalmist says, hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. And so we find here that the grace of God and the praise of the Lord are there for us and are to help us. Everything that has breath, praise the Lord. We're breathing this morning. We ought to be very thankful. We're breathing today. We have breath in our nostrils and our lungs. We ought to be able to say hallelujah. We're able to honor him. And then lastly, we have the hallelujah of judgment. There is a day coming when all the hosts are going to say hallelujah because his will has been accomplished. Turn with me to Revelation chapter number 19. These are the only four times in the New Testament that you'll find these words. Revelation chapter number 19. Let's just read these verses together. Verse number 1. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, or Hallelujah. Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God, for true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication and hath avenged the blood of his saints at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were a voice of a great multitude, and the voice of many waters, and as a voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. There is a day coming when heaven is going to say hallelujah. There's a day coming that we're going to see the hallelujah because of the judgment of the great wickedness that has come upon this earth. And the Bible says here, he avenges the blood of his saints. That great whore, that religious system that destroys and hates and kills God's people, one day God says she'll burn forever and ever. And when that happens, there's going to be a hallelujah ring across the heavens. The judgment that falls. The sovereignty of our God. He is in control. That goes along with that word providence that we had just a few minutes ago. Psalm 104, verse 35, where we started. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth. Let the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Hallelujah. When you get to Revelation chapter 19, it's not a pretty sight. We talk much today, and we should talk a lot today about the grace of our Lord and the mercy of our God and the love of God, because it's spread abroad. It has been given to generation after generation that God loves us. But just as God is a God of love and mercy, he's also a God of justice. He's a God of judgment. And he is. I know the politically correct crowd and the liberals, they don't like to talk about it, but he is a God of wrath also. And if he's going to be just, then there has to be wrath along with his love. For whosoever call upon his name shall be saved. That's the grace of God. That's the mercy of the Lord. Whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. Let him come. That's the mercy of the Lord. That's the grace of our God. But there's also a time when God says, they're going to cry unto me that said, I'm religious. I did this and I did that. And I did many mighty works. And they're at the wrong judgment. They're at the white throne. And they said, Lord, did we not? Why, we even performed miracles. We cast out demons. Look what we did for you, God, and we're here at this judgment, and God says, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. And boy, those last words are tremendous, strong words. Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. Now, there's a lot of people that live in this world that I will never know. And God says to this religious crowd that's doing all their good works and doing all their good deeds, and they're just religious and they're going through their motions and they're signing their cards and they're educating their people. One day God says, I don't know you. You know how we come in acquaintance with the Lord Jesus Christ? By accepting Him. Religion is not salvation. Religion is a service. We can be religious and be so religiously lost. So Jesus said, I never knew you. Has a whole lot of meaning there. Think on those words. I never knew you. All through the scripture, I've got a lot of verses here. I'm not going to take time to read them. A lot of verses that says, praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. This morning, you and I, of all people, we ought to be able to articulate that word, hallelujah. There's a day coming that we will say it. There's a day coming we will experience it. That everything that has breath should praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You and I, this morning, we have every opportunity to honor God. We have every opportunity to say, praise you, the Lord, and just worship Him in spirit and in truth. Psalm 149, verse 1, praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and praise in the congregation of the saints. You could just keep on adding points. There's the hallelujah of the church. God's people coming together, singing a new song, in the congregation of the saints. That's what we are this morning. If we're saved, and I'm sure probably about everybody in here claims salvation, if we are a child of God, we are saints. We are His people. And so therefore, in the congregation of saints, we ought to be able to say, hallelujah. I thank God for Grace Baptist Church. Hallelujah. For your friendship and for our loved ones and for the many ministries that God has given to us. Hallelujah. In the congregation of His saints. Praise ye the Lord. And everything that hath breath, praise the Lord. Psalm 150, verse 6. So this morning, I think, as much as I've said, we have the get the idea that we ought to be able to say hallelujah. It's a word that's not in our Bible. You don't find the word hallelujah in the Old Testament. You find the words praise ye the Lord. The closest thing we have to it is in the New Testament, Revelation 19, where we read hallelujah. It just simply means praise ye the Lord. May God help us to magnify His name. May God help us to honor Him and put Him before the world that has gone crazy. I believe we can really say our society, our world, has literally gone crazy. Mentally, socially, spiritually, we are bankrupt. But you and I this morning, as a believer in the congregation of the saints of God, we can say hallelujah. We can say praise the Lord. He is good to us. He has given to us. He has blessed us. He has saved us. And He's taking us one day to where He is. Hallelujah. Let's stand together this morning.